What does possibility mean to you?
That's a hard question.
Something that you can strive for.
That I'm able to do anything I set my mind to.
You're confident in yourself and you believe in yourself. Stuff that you could achieve.
I feel excited. Anything is possible when you're more confident.
Shoes are a huge part of that. They are the most important part of my style.
You can like express yourself
in the right shoes.
Anything is possible.
DSW, countless shoes at bragworthy prices. Imagine the possibilities.
Epic views, waterfall mists, summit sunsets. It's all better outside. And with AllTrails, you can discover the best of nature with over 450,000 trails around the world. Download the free app today and find your next adventure.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Welcome, welcome, welcome to Jeffrey Wright and Company. My name is Jeffrey Wright. You can follow me on Twitter on X at JWright929ESPN. As always, you can listen on the radio dial 92.9 FM or 680 AM. But now we're streaming just about everywhere. Of course, you can download the Odyssey app and listen to us there. But we're also now on iHeartRadio and TuneIn. So if you're away from the radio, you can stay up to date with everything happening here at the station. George Ruggiero is the producer of the program. You can follow him on Twitter on X at KingGeorge94. George, good day, sir.
Good day, Jeffrey. We have a bit of a change in my schedule later. No trivia for myself at Dan McGinnis this evening. Come on down to Slider Inn in Midtown. Come play some music bingo with yours truly.
Always
a great time.
Always good deals there as well. So go hang out at Slider Inn. Good food as well. My company, as he is each and every Thursday on the program, he writes about college football, college basketball for CBS Sports. Follow him on Twitter on X at David W. Cobb. Cobb, good day, sir.
Good day. Good to be back in studio 2 weeks in a row. First time in a long time.
Does it feel like you've moved back?
It does. What's weird, though, Jeffrey, is that my mom has moved from Bartlett to Germantown. It's like I live in a totally different world. I'm getting way too familiar with Poplar Avenue. I used to slum it over on Summer Avenue. Nowadays, I'm learning the ropes on Poplar. Let me tell you, those lanes are narrow, man. Those are some narrow lanes.
When you get to basically, it's like White Station through, like, Midtown. I mean, it's so bad that if my wife's in the car, I can't take Poplar anymore. It's impossible. She's such a bad passenger.
Oh, she's freaking out because the car next to her is so close.
Correct.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, the little one in the car. Come on.
So far, Josephine's never been in a wreck.
Hey, man, I saw the side of your Tahoe the other day. It's got a little scuff on. What's that about?
So one of it is we moved to the house by the university, and it has a gate, but also it was like a house built in the 20s, and the driveway is quite narrow. So that I got in on like moving day, just drilled it. And it's one of those ones where you're not going to use insurance to pay for it. And so then like you're paying completely out of pocket. I'm waiting to I pay off the car like in 2 months and then I'm going to get it fixed after that.
Well, yeah, if insurance finds out about that, yeah, you'll pay for it twice over.
Yeah, it's tough. It's scuffed up, but my side rides fine.
Yeah, man, it's great to be in studio on this British Open Thursday. You have the look of somebody
Open Championship, please.
The Open. I'm sorry. You have the look of somebody who stayed up pretty late to watch the first tee shot on Peacock.
I did stay up. I saw the first three groups. I don't know. For some reason, I do always enjoy staying up to watch the first tee balls. I don't know why. There's no. What is Padraig Harrington watching? Padraig Harrington hit the first shot. What good does
did
that do?
Did you cry?
Me? No. With it also being at Portrush, there's also kind of like that. I wanted to remember what it looked like.
Did you see Kyle Porter did the tweet again? You know, 6 years ago was when he put out the imagine how jarring it's going to be to go to a golf tournament in Memphis, Tennessee next week with that aerial view.
I was the one that I went out on an island. Is like, I know what he means. And of course, our city having the proverbial chip on its shoulder took. It's like, guys, we don't have an ocean.
Yeah, the Mississippi River, though.
Not in Southwind. In Southwind, we have, what, man-made lakes. A couple of them. It was a dairy farm.
Yeah, those lakes were probably required for some construction projects nearby, you know, some environmental remediation.
We have office buildings.
Yeah, well, he did the tweet again, but he did it next week as Minneapolis. So he just did it for Minneapolis. So I thought that was pretty funny that 6 years after the fact, it's still, he's still so sensitive to that he put it out.
Yeah,
there.
And also, like, I do think, though, that was the year the tournament peaked, right? I think the first WGC was about as good as it gets.
Yeah, I got to cover the first one, and I got to walk inside. This was one of the coolest things I've gotten to do in media because I'm a big golf fan, but I got to walk inside the ropes with Brooks and Rory for 9 holes, and that was
And you could have left after two.
Yeah.
Like, three.
I actually got a one-on-one with Brooks for like a minute and a half, too. It was some like sponsor arranged deal, but I did a story on Brooks for the commercial appeal back in the day.
Were you also like? Did you also have to have your stuff on Golf Week? Because I remember when Mark, that was Mark's deals. Mark wasn't just covering it for the CA. It was basically
Week basically co-opted the local Gannett staff, and yeah, so that was. I mean, that's one thing I miss is not getting to do that.
Pretty sure Mark ended up doing a photo gallery of the Wags that did. Quite the numbies.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. And then he turned it. Was like, well, I was hoping to get Paulina. I was like, how many times have you seen Paulina on the record? Like, the only time Paulina ever speaks is in a Paulina forum.
Surely she didn't actually come to Memphis, did she?
No, she was actually here.
Wow.
She did. I hope everybody's sitting down for this. She did decline the request for the interview. Yeah. I mean, it's like DJ barely speaks. You really think you're getting anything out of Paulina? Like, that's a well-oiled machine. All right, let's tell everybody what we got coming up on the program. We will keep you up to date with what is happening at the Open. Also, Open Championship Radio is back on Sirius XM. What a delight. I mean, just they had a very lively discussion about whether or not, because JT is wearing like a cardigan, and they were asking one of the former players if he ever wore a cardigan. Of course, cashmere, of course. Like, so that's what we had on Open Championship Radio. Also want to get into some SEC media days. I want to talk a little college football. It's kind of talking ball season. We're close to like Athlon magazine season.
Oh, I've got right here in my backpack. I got Athlon, Lindy's, and Phil Steele, and I expensed them this year. I don't know why I haven't done that before, but I expensed them. So I'll let you have one if you want.
I think Godfrey ghostwrites everything for Athlon, just about. Most of that stuff.
Do you buy that in these college football preview magazines, the anonymous assistant coach quotes are actually like, do you buy that they're actually assistant coaches who are telling them these things? Or do you think they just sort of come up with an opinion on the team that they don't want to put their name on and then attribute it to an assistant coach?
If Steven is still doing the Athlon anonymous coach thing, I buy it.
Right.
But if it's not Godfrey, maybe not.
Yeah, I just always wonder about that. Godfrey
kind of worked out a pretty good niche for himself. Like, he was willing to, like, cover coaching as, like, a marketplace. And that ended up, like, being a pretty good niche to, like, build a career.
Yeah.
And I think it could honestly, that's kind of what, let's start here. Because I was thinking about this. Do we think last year for the SEC, where we had no firings, that's obviously
crazy. It also removes some of the juice from media days when you don't have the new guy.
No question. But I was starting to wonder, was that an outlier, or do you think, because some of those were clearly financial decisions.
Right.
I think it's safe to say Sunbelt Billy came back as a financial decision.
Mark Stoops.
Mark Stoops was a financial decision. I think you can even argue that Pittman was a financial decision.
And, you know, at the same point in Brian Harsin's tenure, Auburn cut bait with Harsin, yet Hugh Freeze gets year three. I mean, different circumstances, I'm sure, but still.
Well, I think it's fair to say this. If you weren't hitting up the same people to largely fund your roster, because it's not just, okay, people are scared of people are scared of the buyout. Well, it's not just scared of the buyout. It's I have to pay the buyout, I have to get the new coach, and we have to fund the roster.
Yeah, exactly.
And so that's kind of where it's starting to play in. And that's where I'm curious if last year was maybe a signal of this is how people are going to operate, where maybe it starts, because it does seem like that point that you're referring to, like, I think the peak of crazy coach decisions, for me, it's Muschamp at South Carolina. I'm not saying Muschamp was a great coach and deserved to keep his job. But if you think about where we were in COVID, remember we were so desperate just to get the games. We're like, listen, we promise we're not going to fire anyone. Like, this is a season that's going to kind of not count, but we just want to see the football. We want to be out there. Everybody acted like they were going to have, like, cool, like, calm and collected thoughts. We literally made it to October 1 before we fired someone.
Well, yeah, and then Vanderbilt fired Derek Mason, even though Vandy was so low on numbers that they were
correct
playing a female soccer player at kicker.
Right, the orchestrated. That was heavily orchestrated.
Yeah.
Yes. Not that she couldn't kick, but that was a very much a, that came from the administration.
And then they fired Derek Mason
correct
anyway. Yeah.
Yes. Now, Derek got his money. Like, you know what I mean? But my whole deal is, I think football brain's going to take over this fall, but I am curious to see if actually, like, because there are other financial considerations other than just paying the buyout, I am curious to see if that is actually, like, what is going to give coaches more time.
This will be a more active, I mean, obviously it's going to be more active than zero, but you could have as many as three or four SEC coaching changes this season. I'm not discounting what you're saying. I agree, by and large, the annual number of Power Four coaching changes is going to continue to decrease in this era for all the roster payment concerns you list. But this year, man, you could have a few in the SEC. Like, if you and Auburn don't get it turned around, he's on the hot seat. Brent Venables at Oklahoma might have been on the hot seat last year under different circumstances if it were a different environment in college sports.
And obviously, as you pointed out last week, his AD's got gone.
Right. No, exactly. Yeah. So. You know, he maybe doesn't have the support there that he would have. Sam Pittman lives on the hot seat. Brian Kelly's got to make the playoff. If Alabama doesn't make the playoff, Kalen DeBoer is quickly going to be on the hot seat, especially if, you know, people are under this impression that Nick Saban wants to coach again. So there could be a few this cycle.
So Jeff has a new category for, like, what Brian Kelly and Kalen DeBoer are on. It's not the hot seat. It's the seat next to the hot seat. And I think that's kind of right. The only thing that I'm a little curious about is the LSU decision makers seem to be happier with Brian Kelly than the fan base at large. And I think the opposite was true with Orgeron, where the fan base at large was much more comfortable with him being their coach than the money people were.
Yeah, that makes sense.
And so I'm always unclear of, like, what his standing is, because to the point that, like, there is an issue. Like, if LSU doesn't make the playoff this year, there is kind of like, what are we doing here? But at the same time, I mean, I think they would owe Kelly something like $70 million.
Yeah, and then it's always the question of who you're going to go and get that's better. Like, you fire Ed O, but it's like, all right, we're going to go get Brian Kelly.
Well, so. I also think, though, I wonder if that also has played into the lack of urgency to fire and get a new staff. Who out there right now, like, I'll use the example of John Summerall.
Yeah, well, that's who I was going to say.
People in coaching think very highly of John. But if you're Arkansas, like, does John Summerall, like, really fire you up?
Well, it's like every fan base that wants to fire their coach in the SEC right now has him somewhere near the top of their list, but, you know, you can't coach five teams at once. So if you're John Summerall and Arkansas opens, are you like, oh boy, I got to go to Arkansas? Are you going to wait because, oh, well, I have ties to Kentucky, or LSU might come open? I don't think it's a no-brainer. So then you fire a coach, you go after John Summerall, you don't even get him, then what do you do? Hey, Bobby, you want the head gig again?
Do you think, I'm still holding out hope. LSU, obviously, ego-wise, didn't let themselves hire Sunbelt Billy when they hired Kelly. I'm not saying that was wrong, but they had, like, that was, there was a clear ego problem of, we're not hiring the Lafayette coach.
Right. Does the
is
same
Tulane,
with the same, yeah,
is
right.
Tulane the same thing?
I don't know. Tulane's a strong program. They're a strong program.
Yeah. I also think, like, when you start to look downward, like, who are the exciting names? And then even, I guess, the real thing is now is, are the SEC, like, it used to be, okay, look at Sunbelt, CUSA, AAC as, like, the poaching ground. But now are we at the point where the ACC and the Big 12 are the poaching ground?
Yeah, to a certain extent.
Okay, but who in either league do you think would be an upgrade for these teams?
It's not obvious. I think you also got to look at hires within the league. Like, obviously, Lane Kiffin seems pretty happy at Ole Miss, but you know if LSU, he was close to taking the Auburn job, right? That job might come open again. Alabama might come open if they have a horrible year.
I think he took the Auburn job and changed his mind.
Yeah. So I think you look within the conference, too, and does Eli Drinkwitz get a look? I mean, if they win 10 games again, granted, it'll be against a soft schedule. I mean, I'm not advocating for Eli Drinkwitz. I think he's as far up in the totem pole and in the world of college football as he needs to be, and I think he's even farther up than he needs to be. But I could see an AD talking themselves into Eli Drinkwitz at LSU or Auburn or somewhere if Missouri has another good season.
I was trying to think, who is the last... Who's the last SEC coach to take another SEC job without getting fired? So, like, obviously, Houston Nutt gets canned at Arkansas but winds up at Ole Miss. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking more of the Tuberville, where Tuberville left Ole Miss to go to Auburn.
Yeah.
Is Tuberville the last one?
Yeah, I mean, obviously Nick Saban had his little stop off with the Dolphins between LSU and Alabama. I mean, you see it in the AD world. John Cohen went from Mississippi State to Auburn.
You see it ADs pretty frequently.
Yeah.
I think Tuberville might be the last one.
Yeah, you know, I can't think of another.
That's 97 or 98. Like, it's one of those things where, and I think another complicating factor of what we're talking about is it clear to you what the quote-unquote best jobs are?
Yeah, I think Georgia, Texas, Alabama. I think there's still LSU, I would say.
See, I'm closer to saying LSU's closer to Texas right now than Alabama. Because it is still a one-state school. You have a tremendous amount of talent in-state. They basically have the state on lockdown. Whereas, if you draw like the 300-mile radius around Tuscaloosa, there's still good players, but it's not like that. Georgia, I think right now, if I'm ranking it, I go Texas, Georgia, LSU. But like, that's the other aspect of it. Like, you could tell me someone that knows better would tell me I'm dead wrong, and I'm not going to push back. It's more of kind of reading the room and looking at it. And also, LSU kind of has that weird thing where they still have a lot of money that's still kind of tied to oil, and so it kind of goes up and down. It's not like Texas, where there's just like overwhelming money at all times.
Yeah, well, and that volatility is reflected in the performance of LSU. I mean, their peaks are high. I mean, they're as good as anybody in college football, and when they are on big. But then when they're down, they get down worse than Georgia when Georgia's down. They get down worse even than Texas when Texas is down.
The only one that compares to me is, and now I don't know if it's, but it used to always be when the Auburn team quit on a coach and when the LSU team quit on a coach, like, it was special. Like, those would be like really bad teams.
Well, I put A&M in that category too.
Let's see. I don't, when they quote unquote quit on Jimbo, they never really got like their ass kicked. They did with Sumlin. Against Sumlin at the end, they were done. Like, they had completely checked out. Is that what it gives? Sumlin, Jimbo?
Yep. Sumlin, Elko. Jimbo, Elko. Yep.
And Jimbo comes from Florida State. Like, there has to be another SEC coach that job hopped since Tuberville.
You know, Tubby Smith did it in basketball back in the day, going from Georgia to Kentucky.
I was thinking specifically football.
Yeah, it's pretty rare, but I think it could happen in this lay of the land, in this era. Yeah, absolutely.
Because Petrino comes from Louisville. the second time, he quit on the Falcons, whatever, when he thought, like, I'm going to have Michael Vick, and then he didn't. Les Miles came from Oklahoma State. Mike Price, DuBose, they were all, Mike Price is Washington State. Mike Shula, I don't even remember where Shula was calling offense. Maybe the NFL calling offense, and then they go get, then they get Saban. With Auburn, you had Gus from Arkansas State, Harsin.
Boise.
Somebody's texting in. Yep, Mullen. Damn, Mississippi State to the Gators.
Yeah, there you go. I don't think Jeff Lebby's going to be in the mix for any SEC jobs, any other SEC jobs anytime soon. I think they're going to be better this year, but not to the point where he's going to be of interest to anyone.
I've taken an interest in watching what Mississippi State's doing. I think they've kind of thrown their hands up and been like, listen, if it's going to be $25 million to get a football roster, like, we're not about that life. Like, we're going to spend the 13 whatever million. Like, for them, it's almost like, all right, spending an additional $10+ million for what? To maybe get 9 wins?
You know, but what's interesting
is... And then they're spending it on, like, they still care about baseball, and they're spending on baseball. And
well, and their basketball, yes. Men's basketball is making the NCAA tournament under Chris Jans every year. So, I mean, yeah, you're trying at a lower budget SEC institution to be good at everything. That's hard to do in this era. But what's also interesting, talking about the finances here, I mean, we're sort of operating in this revenue sharing era now, post-House, where at least in theory, based on what we've seen here the last few weeks, is going to be pretty competitive across the board in terms of what you're spending on your roster, because if the clearinghouse is denying NIL deals that they don't deem to be real NIL, then it's going to be hard for everybody to go too much higher than that $20.5 million cap.
Do we get our first lawsuit today?
There was an executive order from the president trying to basically ramrod through these NIL regulations. And I mean, you know.
So maybe was it Mars that threatened a lawsuit?
Oh, there's been a lot of lawsuits filed already against various tenants of this House settlement. I mean.
So supposedly, my understanding of what is driving most people upset is the workaround has been the speaking fees. And so. Now those are all getting denied. I mean, it's one of those things where it's like, I do think it's ridiculous that we call NIL what it, like, we're acting like it is something that it's not, which is, it's just salary. That's what these guys are making. But at the same time, it's like, how can you sit there and say that this speaking fee is... It's not market value. Well, it's like who's to say?
Here's what they're saying. If you're getting paid through a collective, the sole purpose that collective and that organization exists is to funnel money to athletes. That's what they're denying. They're denying where the money is coming from. They're not denying, oh, you show up and sign autographs. That's fine. If you want to show up and sign autographs, that's fine. But the money's got to come from the local car dealership, not from the collective. Because that local car dealership actually has a business and is at least, in theory, benefiting from a business standpoint by having the athlete come and sign autographs at their dealership, right?
I can tell you the next workaround.
What's that?
LLCs that are just going to be filed. Like, people are going to have bogus companies that are...
I mean, that's what collectives are.
Right, but they're going to have to start having, like, more of them.
Yeah.
Because they've clearly flagged, well, if it comes from this, if it comes from the collective, that's getting stopped. So now people are just going to start making bogus companies.
Or you collective just, shell companies.
Yeah, I mean, they're, yeah.
Basically, or you could just have the collective funnel a bunch of money.
I don't know if it's necessarily shell companies. They're laundering fronts.
Yeah. Well, we just need to get the Grand Cayman banks involved and, you know.
I am surprised we haven't seen, like, some offshore banking. Like,
but actually where it's going to go is under the table is if they keep denying NIL deals that were set up by collectives, then it's going to go under the table because we know the booster appetite is there to go above and beyond at places like Texas, at Georgia, at Florida, at LSU. They have way more to spend than just 20.5, and if they're struggling under the rules to get that excess money in the hands of the players, then they're going to find workarounds, which is basically going to be the way it was pre-NIL, McDonald's bags or whatever it is.
Hang with me here. Is that what they actually want?
Probably.
Because in the end, that gets the price back down. I like Part of me wondered if the end goal was trying to figure out a way to get back to the under the table area.
Sure. I mean, it was easier for everybody before we introduced lawsuits and state laws and NIL to all this. And if we can kind of get back to that, status quo returns.
I wonder, though, is it possible?
Well, did you see what Greg Sankey said to Ross Dellinger? Basically,
remind me which one.
It was late last night or yesterday evening, basically. He said to Ross, we had people in college sports begging for guardrails for so many years. Now that we've established them, we need people in college sports to actually abide by them. So you've got these loudmouth collectivists.
Good luck.
Yeah, right. Well,
he's also in this weird spot, though, where he's kind of this middleman. Like, what's interesting to me about Sankey right now is, who is he actually serving? Because what's fascinating to me is the schools and the coaches don't necessarily want the same thing anymore.
Mm-hmm. And not every school and every coach wants
Correct.
The same thing within the league. Because if you're
Correct.
Mississippi State, you're saying, no, we want to cap this thing at 20.5. We don't have the ability to go
Right.
well above and beyond this and to spend $50 million on a football roster.
I don't want to just seem like I'm picking on Mississippi State. The reason why I'm
Vanderbilt. Well, say
the
Arkansas,
reason why I'm fascinated
you know?
By Mississippi State is I think they're actually addressing an issue that other schools are going to have to deal with too. It's just they're beating them to the punch.
Yeah,
everybody can't win.
You got to pick what you want to be good at.
Yeah,
and if you're a department that has other quality sports that your fans care about, then you got a lot more money to those sports, right? So no, but it would much behoove a Vandy, Mississippi State, South Carolina, Arkansas, if 20.5 was pretty much it, and then anything above and beyond that was legitimate third party, not just orchestrated by a collective. But if you're Georgia, you're Texas, you're Florida, oh man, we can go way above beyond this. We don't need an artificial cap.
It's also unclear to me if what they actually want is legal. Like, let's say this becomes law. What's it going to be before someone legally challenges it? 5 minutes? Like, Texas Tech basically announced, like, if they keep this up, like, we are filing tomorrow. And I'm just not convinced that they're going to win that argument. It seems to me the legal victories that the NCAA or the schools themselves have are the true eligibility, like the clock. Like, when Zakai Ziegler
yep.
wanted the extra year,
yep.
didn't get it. The North Carolina player, I think, got denied his TRO.
Right.
I'm unclear about the New Jersey, the Rutgers guys.
Well, shoot, I mean, on a lower level, to a lesser degree, I mean, the Dane Danger waiver getting
yeah.
denied sort of fit. That was not illegal. That wasn't, like, filed in court, but the NCAA denied it, obviously.
I believe Dane explored the legal route, and then I think they read the room, like, hey, this is not. Like, people that want to use Diego's is a separate question. He argued that junior college is outside of the clock, therefore it shouldn't count. And also, it should be noted, he's just been granted a weight of the restraining order.
Right.
It's not like he has won the court case yet. He just has the injunction, and the courts go slow.
He got what he wanted. Vanderbilt got what they needed.
It would not shock me after this year if he drops the lawsuit.
Sure. I mean, because he got what he needed.
Correct.
He got paid.
Like, that's and moving on. But what I am, like, because there seems to be this thought of, if we get a law, it's going to solve everything. And I'm just sitting there going, like, guys, laws get challenged all the time. Now, does that mean it has to go to the Supreme Court? Like, I don't know.
Well, and that's where it gets back to.
Well, then what's that in-between period, like, of when it's in the courts? Before it gets decided,
yeah, like, that's why this is ultimately headed towards collective bargaining. I mean, that's the end game. It's just
okay. Hang with me here, though. I think that's what would solve it, but no one has ever answered this to me. Why would the players agree? This is the greatest system in the world for them. The only risk that they really have is catastrophic injury.
Well, if there's an artificial cap at $20.5 million per department per year, and they feel like they're worth more than that, and they don't want to get it under the table, then yeah, I could see a group of high caliber, high potential, high earnings potential athletes saying, yeah, okay, we're gonna be the ones to steer the collective bargaining thing. And it may not be to the benefit of your rank and file G5 baseball player, right? Because there could be things that come with collective bargaining.
See, I think every sport's gonna have to get broken up.
Yep.
I don't think the same whatever. Whenever we get to whatever the college players union, I think it's going to be by sport.
Oh, that would be fantastic.
I think that's the way it's going to work.
That's what it should be.
Because
football is different.
Well, football's different, and you like that's the other thing. Okay, let's say our two daughters, let's say they play softball. So a sport that makes a little money. But
I was going to say golf, but I mean.
But I want to take a sport that actually has a little bit of juice.
Okay.
It's still losing money. And if you opt into revenue sharing, guess what you also share? The losses. And so what I think is it's going to create the, you can opt into revenue sharing, and you're only going to do that in revenue sports, or you can take the scholarship. And I think that will kind of allow it to get back somewhat to what we think of.
Yeah, and then if you need money as a softball player, you complete a basketball player's introduction to theater quizzes for them.
Yeah,
make a couple hundred bucks.
Or you find someone that can do it. You play the middleman. Yeah. Like you're an agent, essentially, if you will. That's a good way to do it. All right, let's take a quick break. When we come back, Eric joins the program next. Stick around, listen to Jeffrey Wright and Company, 92.9 FM, ESPN.
At Designer Shoe Warehouse, we believe that shoes are an important part of, well, everything.
From first steps to first dates, from all-nighters to all-time personal bests.
From building pillow forts to building a life.
For all the big and small moments that make up your whole world, DSW is there. And we've got just the shoes. Find a shoe for every you from brands you love at bragworthy prices at your DSW store or DSW.com.
We all belong outside. We're drawn to nature. Whether it's the recorded sounds of the ocean we doze off to, or the succulents that adorn our homes, nature makes all of our lives, well, better. Despite all this, we often go about our busy lives removed from it. But the outdoors is closer than we realize. With AllTrails, you can discover trails nearby and explore confidently. With offline maps and on-trail navigation, download the free app today.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law. You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Fun fact, you can't get pregnant every day. You're only fertile for 6 days, ovulation day and the 5 days leading up to it. Natural Cycles is the only birth control app that can pinpoint your fertile window by analyzing your hormone-driven temperature trends. It's more than just a basic cycle tracking app. Natural Cycles is the only FDA-cleared and CE-marked birth control app and has helped millions prevent and plan for pregnancy naturally. Save 15% when you sign up today with code RADIO15. Learn more at naturalcycles.com.
That music means we welcome the Memphis Grizzlies Radio Network play-by-play announcer. He, of course, is Eric Hasseltine. Welcome to the program, Eric. Happy Thursday.
Happy Thursday. I just watched your guy Rory put one pretty close there, huh?
Well, he's been putting it off the planet. Where did he hit it on this one? He's I think at one point he had hit one fairway.
This one, he came out of the rough and he put it, like, he's probably about 10 feet out, I think, for a birdie.
Okay, that's a comfy par.
Yeah, it could be.
He's, let's see, I think the team has missed at least three putts inside 5 feet. So that's been going well. And then we have no idea where the driver's going.
Well, it's better than Bryson DeChambeau today. So
is this all academic?
Birdie all round.
Like Cobb and I were talking about this before the show. Like, is it all academic? Because I'm sitting there looking at Scottie Scheffler. He's 3 under. He's 1 off the lead, and yeah, he didn't even play well. Like, that's what's amazing about him.
Well, I mean, anytime you're over there, though, you got to be leery of the guys that are from there. Like, Fitzpatrick's in at 4 under, and you got Tyrrell Hatton in at 3 under. Justin Rose is putting for 3 under right now. It's a long putt, so I don't think he's going to make it. But those guys understand how to play in this weather so much better than anybody else. And it's, I mean, look, I'll be honest, it's not my favorite major because it just looks miserable out there. Like, I wouldn't pick up my bag and go, yeah, it looks like a great day for golf.
Cobb and I played last Saturday, and Cobb, I don't know, what do you think? 10, 15 miles an hour of wind?
Enough to impact your ball flight, like, for sure, yeah.
Like, 10 to 15, I cannot even imagine, like, 30, 40, like, I don't even know, like, how, the ball would just be, like, my ball would just get launched off the planet.
You know, but if somebody asked me, do you want to play Royal Portrush, I'd say sure. I don't care.
Yeah, get it. Like, it's the history of it. I love that Tyrrell Hatton, by the way, is sponsored by Topgolf.
He's so short, funny. Too, Eric. You, yeah, you noticed him next to this reporter?
Cara's like 5'11".
At his jaw. Like, she just, the microphone's right there. It's funny. I'm not a big, I don't love the wind either. But, yeah, to play the courses, I mean, as professional amateurs as we all are, yeah, that would be cool. But, like, to play it and try to compete in it, that's wild. I mean, I played in some windy days, and you're just like, this stinks. This is awful. I wouldn't come back and do it. You do it once. But, it's still, you know, people love this event. I still think my favorite major, it's never going to change, is going to be the Masters. And then the PGA Tour and Championship, and then I'd probably go U.S. Open, then Open Championship. But it would, like, the U.S. Open Championship, like, I don't care how tall you can make the grass. I don't want to watch these guys shoot 76. I want to watch them shoot 66. I want them to do things that we as professional amateurs only dream of, not struggle because of conditions, not, you know, Mother Nature conditions. These are conditions like you trumped up the course to make it impossible. And so it's just, it's not my favorite thing to do. So I like watching these guys thrive. I like excellence. I like watching basketball players that can knock down any shot from any angle or play above the rim, not shoot layups. I like, you know, watching pitchers throw not only velocity, but move the ball around and strike guys out. I like watching hitters hit the ball to the moon when most humans can't hit it that far. If I wanted to watch average stuff, I would go watch rec leagues around the city all the time, and I'm not going to go do that.
Rory actually made the putt.
Yeah, I'm a little behind you. I'm watching it right now. I just watched it go center cut. So,
he's
1 under.
That smells like a bogey's coming up right after it.
He's top 20 right now. He's not far off the lead. If he birdies this one, he'll be right there. So, we're just kind of killing a day here in Fort Myers, watching a little golf and doing a little. My son actually picked up on the pop stroke thing, the Tiger Woods mini golf, which isn't really like mini golf.
Yeah, how is that?
It's awesome. Like, to the point where we've got, every year we come here to this event that he plays baseball in, we have gone there. And so 2 years ago, the young lady was a bartender. She's now the GM. She remembered us. She's like, hey, it's good to see you guys again. You're back this year. And so really super sweet. And we figured out that it was just more beneficial for us to buy a membership because we literally go every day. And last night, man, this kid was, he doesn't play golf and he's putting like he's borderline like a good player, and beat the old man. He knocked a couple putts really quick. Yeah. Yeah. I gave him a couple of mulligans, but he still beat me. Yeah. On the harder of the two courses too, by the way. It's fun, man. I think their food's great. I recommend them if you're ever in the Fort Myers area. That's the one we're at right now, but I've heard the one in Orlando, the one in Winter Park. Like, they're all, like, they're fun. I hope they expand more because it's a good time. It's a good business model.
What's the name of them again?
Pop Stroke. Jason, our old buddy Jason Wallace turned me on to it because when he was with the Rays, you know, they have the Twins and Red Sox have their spring training games both in Fort Myers. The stadiums are about 8 miles apart, and so teams will come and play the Twins and the Red Sox in spring training and usually make a 2 or 3 day trip out of it. So he told me about it a couple of years ago when we first came down here, and we've gone back ever since. And you know, good food, you know, good drinks. We became members because of the benefits of, you know, 25% off food and, you know, golf for free all day long. I'm like, all right, cool. That's it. We're in.
There's one in Tuscaloosa?
Is there? There could be. I looked up.
That has to be JT, right?
I don't know. I mean,
it's basically like Top Golf except mini golf.
Yeah, but it's not like mini golf like you're thinking. They're just long putts with a lot of undulations and things. And one course is easier than the other. They have two courses. They put out ping pong tables and cornhole boards and foosball here at this one. And I'll be honest with you, we've eaten at a lot of restaurants down here. The food at Pop Stroke is one of the better restaurants we go to for not like high-end dining, but like their burgers are great, their other food. So we spend a lot of time there. We'll probably be going back there tonight.
There's something about the first mini golf course you play that has real bunkers.
What?
Yeah. It's,
you know what I mean?
It's weird, though. It does have bunkers. There's not actually sand in them. It's white carpet, but the carpet is shaggier than the other stuff. The thing in Fort Myers you deal with is that, like, every day it rains for, you know, because you're on the coast.
Yeah.
And so then at one point it's, like, kind of wet and it slows the ball down. Then when it dries out, it's like you're putting on concrete sometimes. And you gotta figure out that judge. But it's a cool spot. I recommend it. Good times.
Yeah, I remember when they started launching these, because it is funny.
I think the first one was in like around Jupiter or Orlando.
That would make sense because it's Tiger's thing. And then it does feel like, as an experience, listen, I always enjoy it, but it does feel like Topgolf has maybe peaked in terms of like what people want to do. I do wonder if this is like next.
So it's wild. Topgolf, when they came into Memphis, and they picked the spot that they picked. And basically, you know, they were like, where are you trying to go? What are you looking for? And the guy, when he said they settled on that, because he said, they weren't trying to be like a bring your family out to Topgolf. They were trying to be a night entertainment, mid-20s crowd, have some drinks, hit some golf balls, hopefully don't fall off of the ledge when you hit golf balls and fall into the net because you had too much to drink.
So always the cost of doing business, yeah.
Yeah, but like they do stuff during the day. Like, I don't think the one in Vegas will ever fizzle out. Like, we obviously, when I was covering the summer league on a regular basis for the team back in the day, I talked to a couple of the guys there when they first opened it up. They said in the first, you know, it was like a $15 million build out, and the loan was paid in 6 months. It is packed every day. And during summer league, if you go there, you may run into a Hall of Famer. You may run into head coaches. You may run into players that aren't playing. You may run into players that are playing, but it is booked all day long and all night long. And that's Vegas. So that's a different animal. When they go to other cities, like the one in Nashville is usually pretty busy, but yeah, after a while you're like, okay, what are we doing? We're just hitting golf balls and, you know, it's fun. It's a good date night. The food there is decent, but I don't think it's peaked, but I don't know that it goes much different. And like you said, sometimes it's go back to way back when I was a kid, the Malibu Grand Prix were the thing. I think you guys had Celebration Station there.
Yeah, we did right there on summer.
They were the smaller ones until like 6 o'clock, and then you had to be 17 to drive, and they were the faster ones. And then it turns out that when you have, you know, people over 21 that have been at the bars and say, let's go drive go-karts, it's probably not the safest thing. So that's changed up a little bit. But, you know, look, good entertainment, good family fun, a lot of families. The putting one seems easy and really family-friendly because kids can do it. And like I said, they get TVs everywhere. They get sports on. So it's a good time for us.
All right. Is Jemai Mashak the next Tony Allen?
Come on, man.
Chris Harrington had a great line.
I like his attitude. I like his hustle.
Harrington had a great line. Do people realize Tony Allen was the Big 12 like scoring leader?
Yeah, Tony Allen. Well, I equate. Not only was Tony Allen the Big 12 scoring leader, like he was their bucket getter for couple. He could put the ball in the bucket.
He was, I think, Big 12 player of the year at the minimum.
On a team that went 31-4 at Oklahoma State.
Right. Look at Reggie Evans. Remember Reggie Evans, who I think started with the Sonics when they were in Seattle before they left or wherever he went and came into the NBA. And Reggie Evans was a double-double machine at Iowa. Like, he was a beast on the scoring. The point guard would look at him and go, nope, not going there and going somewhere else. Because in the NBA, it was harder for him to score. Luka Garza is another one that was a monster in college and is bouncing around the NBA. Where Tony realized he could make his mark was the way he played defense. His jump shot is not, that of a pure scorer. You watch some of these guys in college, and you can see, okay, that guy can get buckets any level, anywhere. That guy's going to have a hard time in the NBA because he doesn't get his own shot. He comes off screens all the time, and the release isn't that quick. And when you've got the elite athletes in the NBA running through screens, it's not the same as college. It's why whenever people would say, that this college team could beat an NBA team, there is a 0% chance. I battled that from when I got there in 2001, and the Grizzlies were not good, but they had Lorenzen Wright. They had Pau Gasol. They had Shane Battier. And I would take daily phone calls on my radio show back in the day. People were like, the Tigers would beat the Grizzlies, no problem. And I'm like, how many All-Americans do the Tigers have? And they're like, Kelly Wise is first team All-Conference USA, and DeJuan Wagner should be an All-American this year. And I said, okay, great. Let's just count them both as All-Americans. And if you want to count Kelly Wise as honorable mention, that's up to you. He's not going to make that. But, yeah, he'll be an All-Conference player. I started naming him off and on the Grizzlies roster at the time, All-American, Conference Player of the Year. I said, you're going to tell me they're going to beat those guys? No chance, 0%. And that's the problem, is people don't realize the level that the jump is from college to pros. Meshack, I applaud him for understanding how he's going to be able to have a chance at an NBA career, because there's been plenty of players that come out of college and go, I'm not that guy. I'm good defensively, but I want the ball in my hands. That's not who you are. And I've told you guys this many times. The most poignant thing Lionel Hollins ever told me in all of our dealings together that will always stick with me is point blank. He said, my hardest job as a coach is to get guys to understand their roles. There is only one LeBron James. There is only one James Harden. There is only one Kevin Durant. There is only one of these guys. And if they're there, you ain't him. And guys can work their way into it. I mean, look at Norman Powell this year. He started as a defender. He had a great year for the Clippers. He had a lot of that success while Kawhi was out. Kawhi comes back. Norman Powell just got traded because he's not going to take the minutes away from Kawhi. And that's fine. There are always spots for those guys that are on the borderline to go, but you got to develop that. So for Meshack to have a chance to play in this league, he realizes, I have got to be a dog on the defensive end, and that's gotten him to here, and that's great. But he's also got to move from that to he's still got to be able to put the ball in the bucket, because we've seen other guys come through. Franklin, who else was this? James Franklin, or what was it? Not James Franklin.
Jamal, right?
Jamal Franklin out of San Diego State. Oh, he's the godson. Well, he couldn't. He was an offensive liability, so he was gone. And then you watch these other guys just D-ing it up, but they can't do anything else. And it's like, okay, now you're exposed. Tony still could go at times and get you buckets. The Hateful Eight game is the most poignant example. And LeBron played, and Tony Allen was like 9 for 9 hitting step back 20 footers, but he wasn't a real scoring option. And, Mike Conley will tell the story. He's like, he'd always look at me and go, come on, give me the ball, killer. And Zeebo would be like, Mike, if you give him the ball, we're going to talk after the game type look. And Mike knew where to go with the ball, to Zach Randolph. So, yeah, I like it for Meshack that he's figuring out what it takes to defend in this league. He's going to figure it out in the preseason. He's going to spend some time, obviously, in the G League. And then you get your opportunity. All you can do is go 150%. And, when a when a veteran like Kevin Durant did to Cam Spencer last year gets in your face, you push right back. I'm here for a reason. I don't care who you are.
I do think one of my biggest pet peeves, when you get the college basketball fan that acts like the reason why they're scoring in the NBA is because they don't play defense, it's like, are you aware of the level of shot making? Like,
yeah.
If you saw these guys in open gyms, they'd never miss.
Well, and look, on that note, I get it. Like, I laughed one year when James Harden got a vote for defensive player of the year or defensive third team. And everybody's like, who voted that? And you just don't know. And he was notoriously like, all right, I'm not going to expend the energy here. That's also sometimes by design. These coaches try to put your best pure scorer on the least threatening guy to preserve as much energy as you can, especially in fast paced situations. And the one thing I always laughed at was when point guards come in and then like the first year, they're like, oh, he can't defend. I'm like, he's defending the best players night in, night out in the game, which is why I loved what Jalen Wells did last year in terms of his development. There were nights Jalen Wells got his lunch handed to him by a star, an all-star, a future Hall of Famer, but he never quit. He never gave up on it, and he would defend as hard as he could. I distinctly remember a game against Phoenix where he was up on Kevin Durant all over the place, and Durant hits this fadeaway 20-footer because he's got a 7'11" wingspan, it feels like, and Wells could not have played it any better. And I distinctly remember the call just going, that was phenomenal defense by Jalen Wells, but a better shot by one of the greatest scorers in the history of this game. And that is a rookie on a guy that's been in the league nearly 20 years that has 30,000 points, and he made him work for that basket. Those guys respect that. I saw LeBron go to Jalen during the year. I saw KD go to Jalen and tell him, keep going. And that's how you do it. And so, again, if you are that guy, and it's a hard pill to swallow, because all your life you've been the guy, even, maybe not as much in college, but getting to college, you didn't get a Division I offer because you were the eighth guy in the rotation and you just kind of fell into it. You got it because you were a stud. You got it because you were playing high-level summer basketball competition level and then went to a Division I school and you had success. And for these guys then to get to the next level and you go, that ain't you anymore, that's a hard thing to do, and only the guys that are capable of pushing the self-gratification of being the man aside to, hey, I'll be the man as best as I can be, but that paycheck's going to look really good in my bank account rather than me thinking I need my touches and shots and I got to go somewhere else. I'd rather be in the NBA.
Eric, we appreciate my man. Enjoy your time.
I will talk to you guys. I may not talk to you guys next week. We're traveling, but I may have time. So
all right,
just have a check in with me. I will talk to you guys soon.
All right, don't let your little man beat you again tonight.
Oh God, I'll text you afterwards. If he beats me, I may have to go cancel the membership.
Yeah, well, son, we're going to see a movie tomorrow. Are you excited about that?
Yeah. No, what we're gonna do is, hey, go inside to the grocery store and grab some Gatorades, and then just drive away.
Yeah, we'll see you later.
Just see how he handles it mentally.
Yeah, I mean, it's like throwing him in the deep end. Like, see if you can learn to swim, buddy.
I could never do that. I thought about just teasing him once, but I'm like, Dad, the damage you could do would be, that's not funny. So,
radio broadcaster arrested. For life in prison. All right, buddy.
Child abandonment. Yeah, that's great. That'll look good on the resume, right?
That'd probably be a tough sell to the old.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Dollar Shave Club is the real grooming MVP. Their six-blade razor gives you the closest, most comfortable shave. The four-blade features swift rinse tech for longer, thicker hair. And the handle has a no-slip 360-degree diamond pattern grip for comfort and control. Shave butter works great with their razors. It's translucent for precision and delivers a long-lasting glide that hydrates the skin. Visit DollarShaveClub.com/homerun and use code HOMERUN for 20% off your order of $20 or more. Plus free shipping. Whatever you shave, welcome to the club.
Escape the heat to True North convenience stores and get any size True Oasis fountain drink for 89 cents with True Rewards. Cool that thirst with any of your favorite Pepsi fountain drinks for 89 cents. As a free True Rewards member, pick the perfect size for you. No matter if you're craving a big drink or a small sip, it's just 89 cents. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
The wait is finally over. Ready or Not is available now on consoles. Become an elite SWAT commander and feel the weight of the badge. The immersive cult classic is now on its way to more players than ever before. Coming this summer for PlayStation 5 and Xbox Series XS. Get ready for 18 high-stakes missions, solo or with up to 5 players in co-op. Clear rooms, protect civilians, make split-second calls, and join the tactical shooter community. With countless ways to set up your loadouts and gear, no mission is the same. And with full crossplay, your team can suit up no matter what system they're on. So, if you're into tactical gameplay and intense high-stakes action, Ready or Not is the must-play tax shooter this summer. Available now on PlayStation, Xbox, and PC.
Hate doing cardio? Try brushing and flossing your teeth. I'm not talking about building up a sweat. I'm talking about building a healthier mouth for a healthier heart, for a healthier you. Smile Generation. Trusted dentists look at your care through the lens of the mouth-body connection, because what happens in the mouth plays a critical role for the rest of your body. To find a dentist near you, committed to treating all of you, visit smilegeneration.com/confidence today and live longer, healthier, and happier with Confidence Unleashed.